And we're ready now for our next interview of the morning. I've got Tuihana from Te Mauritau in the studio. Good morning.
Tēnā rā koe, Aaron. Kia ora, tēnei te mihi, kia koutou o Whāingaroa. Tēnei rangi mokopuna. It's such a glorious day in paradise.
It is today, isn't it? Yeah, it's fantastic. So we had one interview earlier this week about the festival. I called it a film festival, but it's more than that. It's a festival at the old school starting tomorrow, a Matariki. And there are films being shown. And we're here to talk with Tuihana about what's been shown next Friday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And it's headlined Te Kumara, which is a film that Te Mauritau made a little while ago. But we want to sort of set the scene a little bit because, first of all, it wasn't the first film or a collection of films called He Pai Kōrero. But even before that, I think we want to set the scene and just talk about what Te Mauritau's kaupapa is and why you guys set it up. Because you and Katerina began...
Katerina and I.
Yeah, Katerina Mataira, if people are trying to place names.
Yeah, Katerina Kōtiro. Yes, we started back in the last century, actually. In the late 1990s, we had been involved in the revival and survival of Reo Māori, and that was a big focus of our lives with through kohanga, tautārangi, through kura kaupapa Māori, and the establishment of Tōku Māpihi Māoria, which is a kura kaupapa Māori that's still happening in Hamilton and Silverdale. So we were involved in all of those things, but once the kura of Tōku Māpihi Māoria got funding from the government, from our perspective, the controls of the government came over and it became, for us and only us, it became a brown-white school, basically, and the freedom that we'd had when we had no funding, even though it was hard, we had more freedom to be the kura that we wanted to be and have the education that we wanted for our children.
I'm sure no one's surprised that the system likes to have good control over what it has, under its wings.
Expectations and requirements. So in 1995, we withdrew our children from the school. A group of us we left our jobs as well, our own careers of lecturing and tutoring, and we went on the road in a van and a trailer, and we headed north because we thought we might establish a kura wānanga was what we wanted to do, just to find out how do we live the kaupapa that we hold in our hearts 24/7, and that was how we went on the road and went north, and then we came back to Whāingaroa back here for the birth of two nieces and two mokopuna and a niece. And that we got stuck. No, we decided that this was actually the community that was the attitudes, the whole vibration that was here.
There's an openness to... I don't want to just say new ideas because it's more than that. It's an openness to ideas that will bring change, I think, which you don't feel certainly in Hamilton.
True.
Yeah.
Well, our trust, Te Mauritau, is an environmental, educational and health trust, and, with the foundations in Māori culture, language. So it's still very important to us, the revival, and... we were all on the journey. It wasn't that it was all clear to us how to do things.
Yeah.
It was a journey of tuhura, of discovery.
And so you set up here and you didn't immediately start making videos.
No, we didn't. Yeah. We didn't. We set up here and then eventually over time we became involved. I think Helen also got involved in the kaupapa, Helen Ritchie.
Yeah.
And she was doing some work for the Hamilton City Council at the time, who were exploring a kaupapa that came to be called Enviro Schools. And we were asked to get involved, Te Mauritau was asked to get involved to bring in the Māori perspectives of that program. And at first, you know, Katerina and I were not so keen because it was in English and we had been dedicating our lives to Māori resources, things in Māori, kaupapa Māori. However, it was a kaupapa Māori, and yes, there are many of our children that are still in English medium education. And so we did it, but quite conditionally. When with the Enviro Schools people there, we said, well, we wouldn't get involved as long as they would agree for us to set up a total Māori immersion program at a later stage.
Out here?
Just within the kaupapa.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a national kaupapa.
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did that. We did that, and it's Te Aho Tūroa's, the Māori immersion program, not just for in schools, it's for in communities, because Te Mauritau is a community organisation.
Yeah.
And Enviro Schools is in the English medium and early childhood, preschool, kindergartens and schools, secondary schools. Over 1,500 of them now. It's a very big organisation.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that you guys were the ones who set that up.
And local people here was with the creation of the kit, which is the resource that goes with it. You know, we worked with people, Jeannie Rhodes, who artworks in it, Javier and Carolina were part of pulling it all together and the graphic side of it. It was just, it was beautiful. We involved as many people as we could within our community.
That was before I was here.
Ah.
Yeah, so it makes it over 24 years ago.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
I know that much.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was happening, and then I guess in that context, making some films.
Well, it was because we were working with, like I said, our responsibility first off with the Enviro Schools kaupapa was to bring in the Māori perspectives throughout the whole program. And, we decided then that we had several wānanga within ourselves, within the whānau of Te Mauritau, which was quite big at the time, and had amazing people present there. It was Andre, Antonio, and
Te
Kahurangi, and Ati, and Susa, and Irina. There were just so many people, and forgive me if I haven't named everybody. I mean, there's more. We had people from overseas as well. We had different nationalities. It wasn't exclusive as long as people were comfortable to be working from a Māori kaupapa foundation.
Mm.
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that children, tamariki within the schools, had an opportunity to hear correct pronunciation was really important, but also to see some Māori people, you know, and the way that was available to us in those days, it was actually, the first thing we made was a video. It was
right.
That long ago.
Okay, yeah.
It was a video. And so it's been a bit of a technology journey too, because it went from a video to a DVD to a flash drive.
Oh, you mean like literally a physical video. Tape.
That was how we started with this one. And that was back in 2002, 2003. And it was amazing. We had many people that we were able to reach out to, and Don Selwyn, who's Māori producer and actor and director and... Oh, he's done so many things. He did the Māori version of The Merchant of Venice. That was the big
I remember that happening. Yeah.
Well, he came to work with us, and we had John Watson. We had different people who were working in those areas because we knew nothing. Well, I think Antonio was the only one who had any experience at the time.
He had experience in the New Zealand film industry, so...
So, we had to learn how to write up everything and do the storyboards, and it was a huge learning curve, and it took us a long time. I really acknowledge the Enviro Schools, what was then called the Enviro Schools Foundation, for the patience that they had with us, because it was our journey as much as it was a journey to produce this resource to.
Because no one had done this before. So I guess.
Well, we didn't know, but we had Nancy Bunning as well, and Rawiri. We just had access and networks that brought really special people in, lots of them who are no longer with us, but who worked on this this production. I mean, there's many, many names of people who supported, because each these short films, probably about 15 or 16 of them.
Okay.
And they're each done with quite a different view. You know, they were stories that supported, you know, there's one about Haumapuhia, there's one about how fire came, because we all hear the stories about how Maui, well, according to the story, the version that most of us would have heard, how Maui beats up the earth. Beats up the sun.
Yes.
And, you know, the interpretations that actually we wonder about how much of that has been influenced by other perspectives from other countries, like particularly stories were rewritten at that time by British male missionaries and their particular worldview,
which nobody really shares anymore at all.
Well,
or maybe we do. Maybe it still is around.
Well, it is. It is. The impact of it is, definitely.
Yeah,
because it wiped out all of the wahine, the woman, from many of the Māori stories, except Papatuanuku. You know, we're lucky that they kept to her.
It's a bit hard to, like, wipe her out of the story, I feel.
Yeah, but we didn't hear about them, and that was our journey as Te Moti Tau, was to reawaken the knowledge of the wahine Māori, the wonderful woman, and the what they had given. And, you know, admittedly, there were ones like Mahuika, for instance, the fingernails of fire, you know, her children. But she was described as a heinous old woman type thing, you know. And
like that tradition of the hag, the old hag or something.
Something that was, again, it was... The only eyes you can look at is the eyes that of your own experience. So, yeah, it did, but it did impact. And I think the role and the mana of the wahine was wahine Māori was seriously compromised through the impact of that perspective.
And do you think that has then come back and informed some Māori people growing up in the last 100 years or so?
Oh, totally, because the stories that, again, as an oral culture, it was the ones that were written, and they were predominantly written by non-Māori and then retold by Māori. So it's only in the more recent years that there's been a lot of exploration of these. And Antonio, along with Te Moti Tau, we did a whole lot of wānanga that we're exploring. Well, how else could it be? You know, what could this mean? You know, the whole story of Muriranga Whenua giving her lower jaw bone, and there's this physical giving of a bone, according to, you know, some of the stories are quite literal, and yet the knowledge is understood in two different realms. One's the kowairunga, which is the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, right through to the time of coming to Aotearoa, and the kowairaro is the knowledge. This is how I have had it shared with me, is from the arrival here and the stories that pertain to this land.
So,
and so she gave the practical knowledge to him about how to catch this.
Right,
fish.
There we go. Yeah, so that, and that's the thing. So it's not just the worldview of the people who were writing it down, but also they were a literary culture, and trying to interpret things from a oral culture.
Yeah, that was metaphoric.
Yes, yeah, not literal, metaphoric, yeah.
Well, it was literal in that, yeah, living in every day, but the whole language is very metaphorical, because it opens up all aspects of our being, our spiritual aspects, our hearts and everything, which is a little bit different to, you know, it's like kei te ua, it's raining. But if you just literally translate it, it's kei te uana. And yet in Māori you would say, you know, kei te heke mai ngā roimata o Ranginui, the tears of Ranginui are falling, you know, kia Papatuanuku, to Papatuanuku. So then there's a whole whakapapa, and then there's a whole, well, why is he crying for her? And then, you know, it just opens up a huge realm of knowledge and mystery and inquiry.
And you can see how a person's worldview would be profoundly different when you talk about the rain as one example in that way. Yeah, and that's, I mean, yeah, so the stories that the missionaries, the way they wrote it down, they would just be a shadow of what it really meant. That's what it feels like anyway. Yeah.
So some of the stories in this particular collection now, yeah. I was going to say a DVD, but it's not that anymore.
We've got a DVD cover here, folks. But actually, no, we have DVDs in the room. But
yes, we do have DVDs in the room, but we have a flash drive as well. And now
yes.
We're realizing that that's not working either. We're going to need to go to the MP4.
Yeah, MP4. Yeah, that'll do the job.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like it's trying to keep up with the times
and keep translating the versions. From VHS to DVD
and the technical hassles we've had in that process because the actual flash drive I've just realised didn't work.
Right. So hopefully there's a copy somewhere.
Yeah, I've got the DVD form.
Oh, yeah, you got the DVD form.
Yeah, there's a little story about that, but we'll push you that another time.
Well, that laptop plays DVDs.
Uh-huh.
If you get really stuck, we can use that. It's one of the last ones.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just pointing at one off microphone, so to speak.
Yeah, so these short stories support the different kaupapa that are in the EnviroSchools kit or resource, so that the tamariki could hear correct pronunciation for the Māori tamariki within those schools. They could see themselves within it. And there are all different age groups. It's made here, most of it. On some of the beautiful land up by the red shed on the side of the Moenga.
Yeah.
So acknowledging this beautiful environment that we live in. Mihi ki ngā mananga tapu o tēnei kāinga o Whāingaroa. Privileged to be able to share this beautiful home with our kaupapa and in our lives. So, yeah, we did filming up there. We actually did some filming from Karina and Javier's house. And
oh, around Whale Bay, around there.
Yeah, we did filming at the Kōkiri by the Kohanga Reo. We involved a lot of people. And there were some, because there's one about rubbish, of course, that was also a very big part of our lives as we were part of establishing the what was extreme waste back in the day. So we went to the Horotu landfill.
Oh, yeah.
And did some filming there.
Oh, okay. That was spectacular.
Shocking. Shocking. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we still do that, but we've diverted a lot from it.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's been an amazing journey and to see its development now is incredible.
Yeah, because for folks who don't know, Katarina and Tuihana were two of the six official founders of Extreme Zero Waste, although lots of other people
indeed.
It at the time. Mm. Yeah, mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've just been talking about He Pai Kōrero, the video collection.
Yeah.
And you're going to show that
show some of them.
Some of them, because there's 15, you said, yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is for Friday, 5th of July, 6 p.m. at the old school, and then after that you're going to show Te Kūmara.
Yeah, Te Kūmara. So the He Pai Kōrero was filmed, created, like I said, it was the learning journey. So it was 2002, 2003, somewhere around there, not quite positive, but it was produced in 2004, so it's 20 years old.
Wow, yeah.
And then we actually went into 2008, we went into the Kūmara. We had been working with this amazing kraua, Wirimu Tawhai. He's from Omaio, from Te Whanaua Rūtaia in Te Whanaua Apanui, so going around the east coast, around Te Kaha area. And he was supporting us. He was actually on the board of EnviroSchools Foundation board, but he was advising us and supporting us with the development also of the Māori immersion program that I said, you know, Te Aho Tūroa, an incredible man, and he had set up some time before, and I don't know exactly when, but it was certainly before 2008, where he had and he'd got his whānau, his siblings and other people within the community, the hapū and iwi, to come together and see if they could piece together how to build a rua kumara, which is the Māori, the storage pit
yeah.
for kumara. And he held several wānanga to work out, see what they could remember. And then they set out to actually do it. So from they started from the tāpapa, which is the seed bed for the planting of the seed.
Yeah.
And then when you muru it, then when you pick those ones and then you plant them, rumaki is to plant them in the garden. And while they're growing, they were building this rua kumara. And it's just an awesome community, intergenerational journey that they went on. It was and it was filmed, I think it was Awanui Arangi that actually did the filming. But we had been working with this karaua for several years, and he would come to Whangaroa and we would go to him over in Whakatane, where he was teaching at the time. And we'd say, well, Koro, you know, you help us so much, what can we do for you? And he just nodded us and, mm-hmm. you know, he wouldn't say anything else. It was just like, yeah, in time.
Right.
And then one day, Te Rawhitiro and I were working with him over in Whakatane, and he came to us with this box and said, I want you to make me a film. And in the box were 13 three-hour tapes.
I'm trying to do the math. That's a lot of hours.
It's a lot of hours. And, it was an amazing journey. We started on then. We were excited to be able to do something for him. And the work that he'd done, this filming of this journey of retrieving and then actually whakatinana, the actual manifestation of all of that learning, was amazing. It was incredible. And
so he'd filmed the whole process.
The university had, the whare wānanga had filmed it all, but there wasn't a lot of talking on it. Like, there was talking, everyone was talking, but that wasn't going to be able to be the film.
There wasn't an explanation, like a verbal explanation.
So what we had to do was to set up interviews with him various different times. And we were so fortunate that we started to do those interviews with him before we had actually produced the actual film, you know,
right.
the collection of the
It gave you a deeper understanding.
Storyline. Well, it just, I don't know why we decided that. I'm just super grateful we did. But he went through the process, and it was such a process that as he talked, it fitted, even though he wasn't watching the film and he'd done it years before, it was totally even in pace with what he was doing. It fit. It just came together. And so that took us some time to both go through all of those, that footage, and Te Rawhitiro worked on it. We had people, support from other people. It was amazing. And Te Maurito and Antonio, lots of other people were involved at the same time.
And you see the whole process from seed through to the storehouse at the completion of its job.
And then back to the harvest after it, and then the storing of it, getting ready for the next year. So it's a complete cycle.
Yeah.
There are two versions of it, and the one that we'll be sharing on Friday is the shorter version, which is 40 minutes long, but it has English subtitles. but the visuals show you the process as well.
Yeah, I don't remember that there were subtitles because I watched it. Must be 10 years ago.
Yeah,
and I remember what I remember from it is like people who are into gardening will enjoy it to see what was done, but also you really get a feel for what life was like then because the importance of storing the kumara well so that it survived because that was your food, you know, and there was no supermarkets or that sort of thing. Yeah, you actually get a feel for what life was like at that time.
Well, that's the other beautiful thing about this is that the karawa for the long version, which is over an hour long, might even be 2 hours long, but there's a lot of him just talking and telling stories about life. But that's all in Māori. We haven't subtitled that one.
Right.
But it's talking about his life as he was growing up in the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, and how amazing their lives were at that time. Yeah, yeah. So it's a beautiful, beautiful movie from that point of view.
So he was in touch with the people who'd lived that life. In his life.
He had grown up with it, but it had sort of disappeared, you know, that colonisation process and the assimilation policy was still very much present, you know, and became more once the Tohunga Act came in, the suppression of...
When was that? What year was that? Roughly? Decade?
The beginning of the 1900s. I'm sorry, I've actually forgotten that. Might have even been in the 30s, but
right.
I might be making that up.
So within the last 100 years?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, yeah. You know, that. So you weren't allowed to talk about some of these things in those times. And that's where a lot of the knowledge either went underground or was actually lost. And because of the way the children were treated within the schools in particular and punished for speaking Māori, there was a big reaction from them when they had children was, we're not going to teach our children because we don't want them to be hurt, but also we want them to be able to succeed in this other world, you know, that was now becoming the dominant paradigm.
I remember talking to Ngaranoa about her journey, and she developed the intention that she wanted her children to be able to learn te reo, and then she started talking amongst her family and discovered that the older woman could all speak. But she'd never heard them speak.
Yeah, yeah, very
and,
sad.
And yeah, and that was sad, but also it was great because suddenly she had this resource that, you know, and I guess lucky's the wrong word, but I don't know what else to say. We're lucky it all happened so recently in history that there was enough of a connection to modern day that we could reclaim a lot of this knowledge.
Yeah, so her generation, my generation, didn't grow up with Māori as a first language, but many of us did try and ensure that our children, or at least in my whānau, my younger children, and native first language, native speakers of Māori.
But that meant you had to learn it first to be able to do that.
It did, and the older ones didn't have that opportunity because I didn't have it then, or my generation didn't have it then. And it was then when our parent generation who did have it were in a position to feel comfortable enough to be sharing it and also to be, you know, in that kōkiri, in that, in the direction of revival of the language, you know, and that was a response to some of the things. Atarangi was a response to something Muldoon said about the Māori language being dead as well, you know.
What's Atarangi?
Atarangi is the rākau method, the cuisinier rod that Mama Katerina, Te Hei Kōkō Mataira, established. That's a national revival technique. Yeah, ngoi pe whārangi.
All the little things and places and ideas that get incorporated in that process, this is like one little detail in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, that Te Ātārangi was a movement that became into place around the same time as Kohanga Reo, but it was for the adult, focused more on the parents, because if the parents didn't have the reo, then the tamariki weren't going to get that reinforced at home. But it was unfortunate that the government did not support Te Ātārangi like it supported Kohanga Reo.
Oh, that'll be why I don't know the name like I know Kohanga Reo.
That's right.
Interesting. So, folks, we're talking to Tui Hana from Te Maurito, and mostly we're here to talk about the film that's showing as part of the Matariki Festival at the Old School. This film, Te Kumara, on Friday the 5th of July at 6 p.m, but also some of the collection of He Pai Kōrero, films made before that by Te Maurito. But we've also talked about your guys' journey, and can we take a moment to talk about what's happening now with the parenting with non-violence and
Pōtiri a Te Aroha?
I like this story. I like that this is something that developed by a New Zealander, but who was overseas and who came back and started sharing it, and just on visits, and it grew from just little workshops, I think, to something.
I'd really
quite
love
big.
You to talk about that journey with Katerina, because
I would like to do that actually.
I mean, I was involved. We had too many kaupapa all at one time, and we needed to actually move and focus on different parts of it. And Katerina, after extreme waste, you know, we needed to pull back into Te Maurito and really nurture and nourish that.
Yeah.
And then later on, these other kaupapa started to emerge. For Katerina, Pōtiri a Te Aroha, and that was with Ruth Beagle-Hall, who is Jane Ritchie's sister, Helen Ritchie's auntie. But I'd love her to tell her story, not for me to do that. However, yes, Te Maurito has started off with a very wide range of different kaupapa, and now we sort of have three main focus kaupapa and the Pōtiri a Te Aroha and parenting with nonviolence is one of them. Facilitation, the techniques of participation, which is Helen Ritchie and Michelle Rush. So we work with facilitators from around the country and share with them a particular technique of facilitation that Helen needs to talk to you about, because
that's her thing. That's been her thing for a long time,
isn't
it?
She's known as the Jedi facilitator. Amazing woman. And so we have that facilitation program, and we also then have the what's now Toimata. Enviro Schools Foundation became Toimata to be able to embrace more fully the Te Aho Tūroa, the Māori Immersion Program, as well as the Enviro Schools Program. Mm. Yeah. So those are the main programs that we hold, and still, you know, the manaaki, still the connection with the whenua, and that we are an organisation that is in transition. So always trying to look at how we can develop and move forward in a more sustainable, thriving manner. And enjoy life.
That's actually really important. That if you're on a mission, you can grind yourself down and get burnt out on it, I think.
You can, we're in an interesting time now where we're coming to. Many of the young people we're involved have moved on to many other kaupapa and places in the country, in the world, with their lives and their whānau. So we're at that time now where we're looking at and what is the direction of Te Maurito moving into the future. And Katerina and I are looking at and how do we hand over our kaupapa that we're holding to others to integrate that within, you know, many of these kaupapa we would hope will be integrated into life, you know, that they don't need to be separate anymore. They're just our life.
Not a special category.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Well, look, I do like the story around the story that we came to talk about. I really enjoyed it. So thank you for coming in, Tui Hana. And don't forget, folks, Friday, the 5th of July. So the festival starts this Friday, tomorrow. And I might play some music and come back and just list the different films and conversations that are happening. But this Te Kūmura that we've been talking about and He Pai Kōrero are going to be next Friday, 5th of July, 6 o'clock at the Old School Arts Centre. And you'll be there?
Yeah. I'd just really like to acknowledge those lovely ladies who have set up this festival for us. You know, Lara, Lisa and Michelle. It's just amazing. And to be able to celebrate, because, you know, apart from when we actually did win the RAFA Award, you know, that in 2012 maybe, I'm not sure, somewhere around then.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't think we've shared it again with the community, and yet these are things that were happening in this community, and we have so many amazing, incredible people doing amazing, incredible things to... Wonderful that we can actually share them again with new generations and also the other new people who are moving into the community now.
Yeah, and it's such an important document for just retaining that knowledge and that understanding of life back then.
Yeah, and also, you know, that the work that they've done on the tiriti and Toitū te tiriti and just awakening the awareness within the people, the general... community is so important, because otherwise I feel we can lose our community and we will just become a town that's full of people that come and go and do whatever.
We don't want that.
This very special space that we're in here, and we want to honour it.
All right, thanks for coming in, Tuihana.
Tēnā rā, tēnā koutou katoa.